The reading this morning is taken from Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through to verse 26. It's available obviously on the screen, but if you are following in one of the blue Bibles from the church Bibles, it's on page 1172. 1172. The gifts of the Spirit. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy and fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness and orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Ask Joy to come up now.
Sorry, Simon, have you got my PowerPoint? There was a PowerPoint, I'm sorry, it's on the desktop. It just says the fruits of the Spirit. If we can get that up, it would be awesome. If not, it's not the end of the world. So we're in a series at the moment. We're looking at, throughout the autumn term, about what it means to have or to live a Spirit-filled life. Now, as Christians, we believe that when we love Jesus, when we say and we choose that we have followed him, we trust and believe what the Bible says, that he died for us, that he paid the price for all of our sins, and he rose again and gave us that promise of eternal life in heaven, that he has done all of those things. And what he also promises us is that the Holy Spirit comes to live in us when we choose for him. And so what we've done this morning in baptizing Maya is choose for her, that we want the Holy Spirit to be at work in her. Why? Why do we want the Holy Spirit to be at work in any of us? Well, the answer is, of course, that we grapple each and every day, and all of us know this. And if you have small children, you see it each and every day. You have to actually train a child in how to behave. Some of us more than others. But we see it, don't we, that children have that innate human nature in them, in that they just want what they want. Is it just my children? I'm sure it can't be. I'm sure that all of your children and all the people that you know who have children, even if you don't have your own, there is that sense. And actually, even as adults, we have this thing in us, this kind of deep urge where we're like, but I want this thing. Is that just me as well? It might be. It might just be me. But our human nature is at work in each and every one of us to, in essence, be a bit selfish. To, in essence, do what is best for me because that's what makes me happy. But what happens when we do things selfishly is that all the people around us are affected by our choices and decisions. Our human nature, which leads us to do those things which are tempting, but actually we do them from a selfish point of view, then we hurt other people because we're putting ourselves first and not thinking about how our choices, decisions, and lifestyle choices will affect another person. And so what we end up with is a whole community, a family, a community, a world where everybody is hurting other people. We end up with a world where there is war, where there is brokenness of family life, where there is selfishness, tyranny, dictatorship. Because people have given themselves over to their human nature. Now, most of us are good people. I'm a good person. Anybody else here a good person? A few of you. We're good people. We don't want to choose tyranny, dictatorship, brokenness, war, aggression, anger, giving ourselves over to... We don't want those things. And so we fight against them in our own strength in order to be a good person. But actually, even as we try to do that in our own strength, we will find that we don't quite meet the mark. And so what it is that the Holy Spirit does and why it is that we really, really need him is that he at work in our hearts and in our spirits actually does the work of enabling us, strengthening in us, growing in us. All of those things that are the opposite of our human nature. Our human nature would choose to be selfish. The Holy Spirit, because he is God, chooses to be loving. And out of love, which is in essence to put other people ahead of ourselves, all the other characteristics of God himself grow out of that love. And so what we're faced with as Christians is this choice. And it doesn't actually matter whether you're a Christian or not. We're all faced with it. But particularly for those of us who have chosen to follow Jesus, to believe what the Bible says about him, and to live our lives trying to become more like him, to understand him more so that we can be more like him, is that we give ourselves over to the Holy Spirit for his work of transforming us, of changing us. His work, not our efforts, because our efforts won't get us very far. But as we give ourselves to the Holy Spirit and ask him to be in charge of our lives, as we do that and as he strengthens and works in us and changes us, we find that supernaturally we are more loving, more kind, and all the things that the Holy Spirit does to produce God's character in us. And so Paul is writing the letter to the church in Galatia and saying to them, this is the choice that you have to make. But it's the same for all of us. Will we choose to give ourselves over to the Holy Spirit? Now, you don't have the Bibles in front of you because we forgot to put them out. I'm sorry. So I'm going to test you now. Do you know what the fruits of the Spirit are? You can shout out. That's okay. We do dialogue. Oh, my goodness. All at once. Joy. Patience, peace, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness. Are these all good habits? Are they good qualities? Are we all very good at them?
No.
Very loud on the front row. If you press all the buttons, Simon, then they'll appear. I tried to get them all on a fruit, but it didn't. Oh, is there not another slide before that? There isn't. The fruit of a spirit-filled life, the fruit of living, having given ourselves over to the Holy Spirit, is that he will grow in us these qualities and characteristics which are from God himself. If we think about the kind of person that we would like to be, this is not God making us all exactly the same as him and losing ourselves in the midst of it. God has made each of us as unique individuals. He loves us. But he wants us to be the best version of ourselves. And to be honest, that's what we want for ourselves too, isn't it? Don't we want to be the most loving version of ourselves? The most kind person we could possibly be? And as the Holy Spirit does all of this in us, what we actually find is that we're not just becoming more like Jesus and less like ourselves. We're actually becoming more like our true selves. The best self that we can be. And that Jesus in us is helping us to understand who that person is. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. So I think that there are three different stages to this process. So the first one is accepting that we need to invite the Holy Spirit to be our gardener. Now, I don't know about you. I am rubbish at gardening. I know Bob is amazing at gardening. How many years have you won the best front garden in Reading? 5 years. Amazing. I want Bob to come be my gardener. That's a joke. You don't need to do that. But we want the Holy Spirit to be our gardener. We are like fruit trees. We are like those. In the wild, a fruit tree might grow its own fruit, but it probably wouldn't be particularly good quality. It might be bitter, or it might have lots of worms or other things in it because it's in the wild. A gardener will actually look after a fruit tree, make sure that it's got the right nutrients, will feed it the right kind of plant food. They'll make sure that it's got the right surroundings, the right things that are influencing that particular tree. A gardener trains the tree and increases its natural capacity. The same is true of the Holy Spirit. We, if we're left on our own, will struggle with our bad habits. We will struggle with those things that we are tempted to do. We will struggle with our own kind of selfishness because it overtakes us. There are many, many things that we all wrestle with each and every day, however holy we appear. Don't be fooled by this thing. Every single one of us struggles each day to be selfless, struggles to be the best person that we can be. We need, each of us, the Holy Spirit. There are a couple of pictures up here. There we go, nice gardener, tending to that. A gardener also does pruning. This is not always a comfortable thing to talk about. If we invite the Holy Spirit to do that gardening of our hearts, then sometimes he needs to move us. Sometimes we're perhaps in surroundings that are not actually helpful for us. Perhaps there are people in our lives who don't help us to continue walking in the way that God wants us to walk. The surroundings are really important. If we invite the Holy Spirit to be our gardener, then that includes some of those painful things of being pruned, of having things in our lives that we perhaps quite like, perhaps make us feel comfortable, perhaps indulgent. They might not actually be helping us in our journey with God. So the first thing we do is invite the Holy Spirit into our hearts to be that gardener and give him the opportunity to tell us those things that need to be removed, those things that need to be dealt with, to be prayed over, and to be let go of. So we invite him to be our gardener, however painful that might be, and we accept that he will do this work of nurture. So the second stage is his nurture of us. So it's not all pruning. You'll be pleased to know it's not all pruning. There is also nurture. Fruit doesn't grow overnight. You don't plant a tree and the next day have beautiful apples. It takes time and it takes effort. And therefore it's effort on our part as well as the Holy Spirit. We don't just go, okay, Holy Spirit, you do to me what you want to do and I'll just lie here. The Holy Spirit calls us into partnership with him. We work together with him. We put our part of the effort in. So the Holy Spirit might look at the environment that we're in, our surroundings, and ask, is that a good place for growth? And he might call us to move somewhere. The church is the place that God has said, this is a good place to be nurtured and grown. And so if you're not in a church, it's very, very difficult to grow. And that doesn't actually mean that it's all fun and laughter and loveliness. Sometimes church needs to be a place where you are held accountable, where things that are not right in your life are addressed. And you can only do that if you're truly family for each other and really actually knowing what's going on in one another's lives. But the right environment that the Holy Spirit wants to first plant us in is the church. And we then have small groups and other things which help to facilitate that growth that we're doing. Our families are another place that the Holy Spirit plants us. Today we've baptized Maya, and we believe the Holy Spirit has already put her in a loving, nurturing home with good family and good friends around to support her growth and her development as a person. They will set her the example of how to be loving and kind and patient and good and faithful and gentle and self-controlled. She will learn from them because she spends time with them. The more time she spends with them, then the more mannerisms, phraseology, values, morals, all of those things will be shaped by the people that Maya spends time with, the people most present in her life. And we've seen today that those people are committed to her and love her. That's wonderful. The same is true for us of the Holy Spirit. The more time we spend with him, the more time we give our attention to him, the more time we read the Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to show us what it is that he's saying to us, then the more we will learn how to be like God and how to wrestle with our issues and our struggles and our bad habits. I wonder what nutrients we are feeding ourselves. It's very easy in this world to listen to the media, to listen to the television, newspapers, other things about what should be our priorities in life. And one of the questions that the Holy Spirit should be asking us as our gardener is, what are you feeding yourself? And what is it that the Holy Spirit wants us to be fed by? The Holy Spirit can lead us to good, nutritious, spiritual food. And those things will help us to grow and help us to grow in the right way and not in ways that are unhelpful or damaging to us or to other people in our lives. We receive encouragement through worship, through prayer, through the teaching of the Bible, through friendships, the support of small groups or prayer triplets, or the input of mentors in our lives. All of these things are ways in which the Holy Spirit nurtures us. And over time, not overnight, over time, with our effort in partnership with him, we can see transformation. We can see a different heart in who we are and different habits that we have developed, habits that will bless us and encourage us and make us more of all of those characteristics that we saw were God's characteristics that the Holy Spirit in us wants to grow. And so surroundings, I think I had a picture of an orange. Is it still an orchard if it's oranges? Grove. Orange grove. There you go, the linguist among us. The nurturing, the ground that we're in and the food that we're receiving. The Holy Spirit is wanting to do those things. And then thirdly, the third stage is the harvest. Our core character becoming different, becoming more like God himself. Over time, we can see how the Spirit has transformed us and made us fruitful. If you've been a Christian for a while, you look back and you can see how much I've grown, how much I've changed, how much God has done in me. I'm not the same person. Janine's doing this course, but actually all of us will never, ever be the same again. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us, to strengthen us, to make us the best version of ourselves. This process of becoming fruitful is more than just becoming a nicer person. It's about becoming like Jesus himself. The Holy Spirit working in us works the holiness of Jesus' character. Now, Jesus never did anything wrong in his whole life. He lived a perfect life. That's not going to be us, because already we've messed it up. But he wants us to get to that place where we know what it is to be truly holy in him. When we do that, the world can be changed. And it's not just a transformation in our lives. I can't remember what pictures I put up for this one. There we go, we come like Jesus. It's not just for us. We might become more like Jesus, and that would be wonderful and beautiful. You like to be a beautiful person, not just on the outside, but a beautiful person on the inside. The battle that goes on within each one of us, the struggle for our human nature, which pulls us in that direction of wanting to do what is best for me. But it's not just about us becoming the kind of loving people who constantly put the needs of others ahead of ourselves. It's also about what would happen if the world was impacted by that. Jesus wants us to share our faith in him, to share this good news about how much he loves us, so that we all can be transformed. And as we are transformed, more to be like him, more loving, more kind, more generous, more faithful, more loving, more gentle, more self-controlled. As we do that, it has an impact on the whole world. What is the only way to change a situation of war or factions or disagreement or brokenness in a family? To lovingly restore relationship. That is what we are called to do. And as the Holy Spirit transforms us, then we in turn can bring that greater transformation to those around us and to the world. Our human nature has a strong hold on us, but the Holy Spirit is stronger if we surrender to him and give ourselves fully to him. If we are living spirit-filled lives and choosing to walk his way and not just our own, then we will keep in step with him, as the Bible passage says. And as we keep in step with him, as we match our steps to his steps, we will find that we walk like him as well. Our character fully shaped by God's character. And therefore we become more than we could ever be in our own strength. Wouldn't it be wonderful if through us being more loving and patient, the world would also become a more loving and patient society? Don't we want to have hope for our world, which is so broken? This is not an easy process. But the possibilities there are, if we willingly give ourselves over to it, mean that we have to choose this. We have to choose the Holy Spirit to change and transform us and to make our lives fruitful for him. Amen.